Welcome to the Too Posh Podcast.
I am Gabrielle. I am a former New York Mafia princess, originally from Austria. I am the mother of three and the owner of Too Posh Boutique. And here with my beautiful co-host, Marcella, my daughter.
Hello, I'm Marcella. I'm a dancer, choreographer, model, and designer for Too Posh. And I say whatever the f*** I want.
My name is Bernie Diamond, and I am the most interesting one-armed Hispanic French bulldog lover in this room.
I am Polly. I am a certified sexual health consultant and educator, former professional dominatrix, currently working at the largest adult novelty store in the Texas Panhandle.
What will they say next? Welcome to the Too Posh Podcast.
Okay, welcome to our Too Posh Podcast. I'm your host today, Gabrielle, with my daughter, Marcella.
Hello.
And our Puerto Rican amazing co-host, Bernie.
Just kidding. Hi.
Oh my god.
That was my ASMR stuff. I don't know. I was trying to
spider
clear
goes,
food out of
oh
my,
my god.
Free sample.
Spider. Hi, Spider.
I got something for you today.
Oh, let's hear it.
All right.
Oh, it's more Spider in the building.
It's my favorite song you play.
It really is. That's of all it's, the ones you play,
it's a classic.
I like it the most.
I love it.
I don't know if it's a classic. I just think that you, when I hear this song,
I know it's awesome.
The ladies love it.
That's right.
Well, we welcome back our guest, Coach Larry Clay Lonis.
Did
either way, right?
Yeah,
Larry Clay Lonis, you
right. Part two of his life story that is really incredible. You need to go listen to the episode before this one because he truly talks about overcoming the worst. I mean, a slew of the worst things, and really turning to God and finding positive out of all the tragedies that he had to endure growing up. And we're gonna talk this show about what he did next and what he continued to do. And you opened martial arts.
Opened martial arts facilities, yeah. And then went on to later in life kind of traveling and speaking about my history, which after that turned into speaking about my history and then also letting people kind of understand what are some things that they let themselves become, condemned about, or feel they let themselves feel guilty about. And unfortunately, what's crazy is a lot of that stuff evolved around what we call church today.
What church did you go to?
I went to several. Actually, I got quote unquote saved in a Baptist church. My grandparents were Assembly of God. My parents were Church of Christ. as far as my mom and stepdad, they were Church of Christ. My dad was non-denominational. And then been to several. I've definitely been to several. Went to, I guess the longest one here was probably Gateway for a long time.
So this is a mega church in South Lake, Texas.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you found your home for a while, I would say?
For a good while, yeah. Actually, I spoke there a few times. Got to help with some of the kids' camps too, that kind of thing. That was home for a while.
Mm-hmm. And then tell me about what you talk about, what these big churches or any churches, what did you learn and what is your belief?
You know, my biggest belief obviously is that people walk around condemned about a story they carry for their history because, you know, our brain is wired literally to where we literally focus on the negative. And in most cases, it's like a protection device. And because of that, like we let fear not drive us to do things maybe in some cases, but in most cases keep us held back from doing things. I could look at, you know, what everybody knows about my history and be like, oh God, I don't want to tell anybody that. They'll think, you know, X, Y, and Z about me or make these predictions about me and whatever else, as compared to being like, you know, really seeing the positives that I got out of, going through the history that I had. And then into, you know, kind of how literally, and like I said, the last podcast, I just felt freedom because I was actually able to get out into a world and knowing that I survived everything that I did, there's nothing I can't survive. And believe me, I've had everybody and their dog talk bad about me or, you know, regardless if it was that or somebody, you know, trying to hold my history against me. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. You know?
Why would people do that?
You'd be amazed. 9 times out of 10, a lot of times, and I've always said the martial arts industry is a very melodramatic industry. everybody gets very protective of their sensei and et cetera, and, you know, or somebody sees you doing really well and it comes back to the old crabs in a bucket theory. You know, they see you doing well, so they want to pull you back down. One thing I've said when I've, because I do a lot of business coaching and coaching people that are trying to start fitness and martial arts facilities, that sort of thing now. The first thing I tell them is like, you're going to have to get over yourself. And okay, what does that mean? It's like, there are going to be haters and it's okay. You know? And, I kind of tell them, make the joke of, you know, you need more haters because the old ones are starting to like you again. But it doesn't matter what industry you're in. There's always going to be somebody that either they're familiar with you and you know you, and they don't want to know that you're doing better than them, even though they're sometimes your best friends in the world. Or they're just people in your industry that, you know, they're extremely jealous and, you know, they follow their traditional routes and blah, blah, blah. And then they see you making tons of money and they want to tear you down. That's very common. Mm-hmm.
Do they, like, would they use your history to do that, or
use your history, or they'll wait for you to make a mistake of any sort, and then they'll absolutely just tear you to shreds over it. Yeah, make it look like you've manipulated things, done things the wrong way, anything they can use against you. Absolutely.
Did that happen to you?
Oh, it's happened. Absolutely. That back in, I think back in 2004. That happened when I first got to Dallas. And you know, I was the guy that did, you know, what I told you I did in Lubbock, Texas, and, you know, had the facilities.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Did you have those still when you came here?
No, I got, sold those, actually to a general manager that I had there, moved here, opened, one with a partner, and, he decided he didn't want to pay me. And in order to protect himself, he had some people start some internet forums about me. Yeah.
What?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So he had a few buddies.
So you opened, martial arts facility here,
yeah,
with a partner, and then he
knew I was that I figured out that he, you know, should have been paying me when he hadn't been, and absolutely decided that it was time to tear apart my reputation so nobody would believe me or, you know, want anything to do with me, because in all honesty, I'd created a huge name, and you either loved me in the martial arts industry because you'd seen what I'd done and you'd want to do it, or you hated me because you'd seen what I'd done and knew you couldn't do it. Not to be arrogant, but that's how it was. And, he was definitely one of those. I had a big name in Krav Maga. I was, some
what is
people,
that?
Krav Maga. It was actually,
so cool.
Yeah, it was actually, it was designed.
Say it again.
Yeah.
Krav Maga.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was actually designed for the Israeli defense forces as something to be self-defense and defensive tactics method, designed to be very practical, very realistic, very easy to learn. But at the same time, if you're looking for something that you can enjoy and actually get in good shape doing, it was definitely that. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things. I like I said, I grew up through traditional martial arts all my life, various forms of traditional martial arts. Krav Maga is actually what's known as more as a fighting system. Nothing ritualistic. It's just get in and do what's instinctive and rip apart whatever you can and make sure you and your family get home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you can rip apart phone books and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't like phone books. Apparently. No,
you don't. Yeah. Damn phone books.
Do they even make phone books anymore?
They do.
They do. Some people are old school that way. Yeah, of course.
Well, you go through West Texas, Lubbock and Amarillo, there's one on your doorstep every 3 months, 3 to 6 months. It's still,
really?
It blows my mind. Yeah, it's like you can look up anything on your phone and figure out anything.
So real quick, before speaking of phone books, mm-hmm. right, so was this, you were part of the
Power team.
Was that pre-2004 or post?
That was post. Yeah. I was there for a little bit and then started speaking on my own. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. Because that's for those who don't know, tell everyone what the power team is. And
so
did.
We would travel and do.
This is a power team on a church.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, so not necessarily. They're not a church themselves. It's like a ministry team, so to speak.
Right.
But we would travel and do, you know, feats of strength and tear phone books and, you know, bend iron. Bend iron bars on my teeth and that kind of thing. And I was actually
like rebar, the stuff sticking out of the bridges, the stuff that are getting like they bend crap like that. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'd put it in my teeth and bend it and explode, you know, what are the hot water bottles.
The old
sort of
school.
Yeah, the red
thick.
Ones.
Yeah, the red ones. Yeah. The super thick rubber ones.
Yeah, the one that left scars on your face. I think I've got a couple still. So. But so we would do that and it would basically attract, you know, people and this power team has been around for years and years and just doing amazing things all over the globe. But they would attract, you know, obviously the original thing was to attract kids and that kind of thing. But you see, you know, adults run into the front of the stage wanting to turn their lives over because they see what you do on, you know, a daily basis and, you know, and doing all these big, massive guys bigger than me, guys that made me look small. No joke.
What?
Oh God. There's, yeah. No, there was a
makes
guy,
you look small.
There's a guy and I'm, his last name was Collins. I want to say his first name was Michael. I love this guy. And I hope I didn't, you know, just get him mad by saying his name on the radio. But anyways, he was on the team, the power team also. I believe he played for the Baltimore Ravens. He was defensive line. He was six foot six. His freaking arms were bigger around than my legs were. And this is when I had almost 40 inch thighs. This was way back when I was 370. Yeah. He made me look tiny and he was solid muscle, but yeah, some big, big guys. The funny thing was like, I think the owner of the power team or the president, I think he used to think it was funny to put us on those little small, charter jets or the small planes
with the
three rows of seats just to watch us fit in the chairs. It was ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I think he thought it was a huge joke, but long story short, we would travel around, do like feats of strength. You know, in fact, one of the guys that I knew, his name was, JD, he has he's the ice breaking world record holder. They would have, I guess they were about 3 foot or 4 foot by tall by probably a couple feet thick, and he would do 8 to 10 or 12 or 13 of them. He'd just run and put his shoulder through, you know, a bunch of ice and do stuff like that. And of course, that really caught people's attention. And then we would tell them, you know, our testimony, our history, our story, or the reason why they should do more than what they do or whatever it was. And, it was crazy. We really had to watch what we said and stuff like, you know, schools and things like that. There were literally attorneys following us around waiting for us to say something about God so they could sue us.
No.
Oh,
wow,
it was crazy.
Really?
Yeah. It'd blow your mind. And we're doing all these inspirational things and having all these stories come from years later, of course, about people that had experienced the power team when they were in their childhood.
Right.
And quote unquote, you know, you guys are the reason I'm doing everything I'm doing in business because I saw what you did and I heard your story. So
wait, you're
so
not
forth.
Allowed to say anything about God?
Mm-mm, no.
Why?
It's just been an ongoing thing for a long time. Yeah.
I had no idea that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's
crazy.
You
can't just go out and talk about it.
It's the same reason that, you know, prayer had been taken out of school
and
people get butthurt very easily nowadays.
Oh,
they're looking,
well, yeah.
they're looking for ways to sue and
absolutely.
For this and that. Everybody gets offended. And I mean, it's just, it's insane. So mm-hmm. not, not surprised.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how long did you do that for?
I did, well, including the power team and my personal speaking, gosh, I guess seven years or so.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Kind of injuries do you have when you do the power team?
Oh, my God. What kind of injuries do I not have?
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. Like, they were just like going, they would do stuff like they would take their elbow and just go straight down bricks, mm-hmm. bricks or these massive thick pieces of ice. Or.
So does this pay you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it absolutely. Did pay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't realize they got paid.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Honestly, it was how I was making my living for a long time, you know, mm-hmm. and they had heard, about my story from a pastor that was there at Gateway, that he actually knew one of the contacts there and told him about me. He's like, you got to talk to this guy,
man.
You know? And, they heard my story. And of course I was, you know, a monster by that point. So, and you know, not only that, but I was, you know, 6'8", 370 pounds and able to do all these, you know, jump spinning kicks and everything else in the air. And look, it just kind of blew people's minds.
Now, I don't know if this is true. I was told that you were banned from the church. Is that correct?
I was put on a quote unquote watch list.
What is that?
Well,
how does that even happen?
Gateway. That's kind of, that was
I've
kind
never
of,
even heard of that before.
Yeah. That was kind of my reaction. What the heck is that? long story short, I had had a discussion and on Facebook, I had posted something about the mega church and I just kind of gotten fed up because of some stuff that I had I'd heard from another guy that was a really well-known pastor there, who's a good friend of mine, still a good friend of mine, by the way. I just heard how they were treating a previous staff member, and literally just this church just turned their back on him, like he wasn't even there. And this guy had done some amazing things, you know, at that church. And all of a sudden there was rumor that, you know, he had done something wrong. And instead of quote unquote loving the guy back in line, they didn't want anybody to know that he'd, you know, they turned their back on him. And literally every staff member was told, do not talk to this person. If you do, you're fired.
My goodness.
Yeah.
I've heard this before.
Yeah. And it's horrible. So and, sad. You know what's so what's crazy? Me and my big mouth, it encouraged me to make a post the next day about the mega church. And I said something to the effect of, I'll support the mega church when they open a mega homeless facility. And I was just tired of everything that I'd seen. Yeah. And, you know, and my point with that was that, you know, the churches were that I was, going to at the time were able to, you know, build six or, you know, five or six campuses or whatever else, but, you know, and there's all this thing, oh yeah, you know, come to us if you need some help, et cetera, et cetera. But I knew the stories of people being turned away, you know, and why. And I was just like, man, this is crap. This is not what the church was made for. And it really encouraged me to get involved with what's called etymology and also the Greek perception and Hebrew perception. And lo and behold, a couple of years after I started kind of investigating this type of stuff, there was one of my students who later became a black belt of mine. He's actually wrote a book and it's called Reorient. I cannot tell you enough about how many people really need to read this. And
Reorient.
Yeah. It's called Reorient. You'll see. And, I'm able to give him a plug to say his name online without getting sued. Okay.
If you give someone a plug, they like it.
His name's Kevin Weaver. It's an amazing book. It actually gets into the etymology of words and the Hebrew and Greek perception of words. And it's stuff that we've got kind of the right idea and the right perception. We have the right definition, but our perception of those things is completely off. And what's crazy is once you start learning these words, you start to figure out our perception about the church and what we're supposed to be doing is completely wrong. And this is one of the more controversial topics that I speak about. And
I'm getting all geared in and like, I want to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of goes back to, you know, people not really understanding where our method of quote unquote church comes from. And, you know, I think this is pretty much synonymous with every church. There's a guy speaking in front over a huge congregation. And what most people don't realize, they kind of start wondering, have we talked about this?
No, I'm just laughing, smirking, because I totally can relate to all
you look
of this.
Like you're getting pissed off.
No, I'm like, I just want to say something. I'm kidding.
Jump in, Bernie.
I want to finish.
So where we got our method of church, most people know that Constantine was actually the person that was starting to establish churches all over Europe. What most people don't know about Constantine is that he was a pagan priest. And everybody's like, oh, so he got saved and he started planting these churches. No, he literally was a pagan priest all the way up until he died.
Wow, I didn't know that.
To the point that they tried to, people started worshiping him as a pagan deity. So
what does that mean?
A god. A god. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. But you start to look, okay, well, if that's the case, then where the heck did we get our model from? Because he's the one that established all these churches. Okay, so there's one reference in the Bible where there's one person that says, I'm going to raise myself above a congregation of many, even higher than the heavens, even higher than God. It's the devil himself. And so you have to think, okay, what does our model look like? There's one dude speaking up on a stage, usually with lights and glitter and whatever else is going on.
Glitter?
Yeah.
What kind of church are you going to?
We'll talk about that later. And then there's a huge congregation of people listening. And the word church comes from a Greek word called kuriokon, and then which comes from the Hebrew word ecclesias. What most people don't understand about an ecclesias is literally so picture 12 people sitting around a table. There's the same thing. Pastors, priests, and ministers, you know, one at every table, so to speak. But their only job is not to talk and give them a lesson and say, this is what's going on. This is what, you know, this commandment means. This is what this scripture means, et cetera, et cetera. But literally to keep their mouth shut the entire time until somebody speaks out something that's wrong. Meaning they're going around the table saying, this is what my life looked like this week. I feel like this godly principle applies to it. This is what Christ did. This is how this is going to apply to it. And literally their job as a deacon, a pastor, a priest, or a minister is to sit at the top of that table and say, okay, you've got the right idea, but this is really what that principle means. And then let everybody else go around and speak so then you actually learn something. You're literally discipling one another. Your iron is sharpening iron as compared to, hey, this is what I'm going to talk about this week. I hope you show up. And when you show up, it's only going to be for an hour. Hope we quote unquote get you discipled up in the next 30, 40 years. You'll be all right. Different kind, different model altogether.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. No, you know, at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, everyone, I mean, we're all human beings, right? We're all emotional. And so we've seen a lot of people fall from grace and talk about pastors, right? And everyone has their own nonsense and their own shit they're going through. And we're all in this emotional, crazy world trying to like find peace of it. And for example, like the whole thing with Kanye West, like it's been so controversial. And, you know, people are hating on him right now, right? They're hating on, he did the thing with Joel Osteen, and people hate on Joel Osteen, right?
Yeah.
And there's opinions for
there's a lot of them loving on him, though.
Correct, correct. And what was so awesome about that was, like, if you look, I post on Facebook about this. Like, if you look at Kanye West, right, he's this major, like, he's one of the greatest rappers in the history of time and to come. He's an A-lister. He's married to Kim Kardashian. He's worth $250 million. Has access to anyone and everyone. And the guy found his peace when he found it on his own through his relationship with God, right?
Yeah.
But it didn't come through. It was really cool. When he was telling his story on the stage with Joel Osteen, he was talking about how he had Christians and people around him who were basically quiet, just kind of were yes men to him. And it's crazy because my point to that is that, I mean, there's so many people who are quick to judge, Christian or non-Christian, but, you know, at the end of the day, everyone's just trying to find that way to find peace and happiness and whatnot through it. And so it's hard. I mean, in a world where we're all emotional and whatnot, it's hard not to judge because we're human and we have our own experiences, like your whole growing up, yours, mine, yours. But, yeah, in a world now today, that's I had no idea that happened to you. You didn't ever share that with me that you got blacklisted from church.
I think that is absolutely ridiculous.
That's crazy.
I think you can say whatever you want to say. Me personally, I say to Marcella all the time, we're extremely ADD. If I had to sit at a table and going around and all that kind of stuff, I personally, I'm just speaking for me. That's not for anyone else. I probably wouldn't get anything out of it. I need the glitter. I need the lights. I need the music. Sure. I need the weekly feeding to me. It's different for every single person. I grew up Catholic. I got nothing out of it. Yeah. So I feel extremely blessed to be
except
here.
Some wine. Wine out, you got some wine out of it.
Yeah, right? They don't just give it to you. What the hell was going on? So I'm just saying it's different things for different people. Right. At the same time, my son has studied Bible. He's probably completely on the same page as what you're saying. And
he also worked at a church.
Right.
He did?
Yeah, for years.
So my brother was probably on his way to, honestly, I thought being a pastor.
Yes.
And then in a big mega church. And then it.
What church was it? We can bleep it out.
I mean, there's a lot.
And there's a lot of
that, but the big sense, like, I don't want to get too religious.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And here's the issue with a lot of that is like, and just like you're talking about, Bernie, like literally, these people get put up on a pedestal, or the adverse, they get picked apart. And
when they're human beings,
absolutely.
Too,
well, and that's the point. Is like literally, their scripture is very clear. It says there are different members of the body. A hand can't do what the eye can, et cetera, yada, da, da. But the point being is like, I can speak to people that have a history similar to mine because they have a history similar to mine. I can show them, no, there's a better way, man. And then there's things that you can talk about that you've went through. People are going to be like, holy crap, I never looked at it like that. You know? So yeah. And that's the unfortunate, other side of the model. That's kind of, it's really defeated just for the simple fact that like, these people are raised up on a pedestal, and then next thing you know, you've got 120,000 members coming to this church and the guy screws up and it's gone. You know,
so do you know anything about what happened to him now? What the guy's doing now?
Which
the guy that you're talking about who, got ostracized from church.
Oh yeah. He started another church in Arizona and it's flourishing. That was one side of it. And actually what got me on the watch list was what happened after that. I made that post about the mega church.
He's not still part of the church though, is
No,
he?
Not that one. No.
Okay.
No. Anyhow. Oh, no, I know who you're talking about. Never mind.
Yeah. I was like,
I won't say that name.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say Preston. Bleep him out.
Right. Long story short, I made a post that post about the mega church, and the guy that was actually in what's called Kairos there, the healing ministry that they had there, confronted me on Facebook on that post about it. And so we started going back and forth, and he kept coming back with, well, you know, what I think Jesus meant was X, Y, and Z. I'm like, no, dude, scripture is clear. This is what it meant. look at the Greek interpretation, the Hebrew interpretation. Let's figure it out. Don't tell me what you think. Tell me what Jesus said. And that's where, because I feel like that's where a lot of times people get into manipulation of scripture and whatever else. And like, there's no way to manipulate something you read in depth from a Hebrew and Greek perception and the terminology, the correct terminology. It was crazy because there were 67 posts between he and I and these other people just, of course, clicking like on, you know, mine and his both. And we get to the bottom or the next day and I get a call from the pastor friend of mine and he's like, well, he goes, so just don't start flipping out if you feel like you've got a lot of eyes watching me. Like, what are you talking about? He goes, we had an actual meeting with the entire church staff this morning to watch you. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's crazy. And
this is a huge church, you know? And he goes, they said, to watch to anybody you stop and talk to, even if it looks like you're just fellowship and just hanging out, talking, having a good time, laughing, and make sure that you're not saying the things that you said on that post. And then I went and looked at that post. The pastor that I got in the disagreement with went back and deleted every one of his comments. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you that scared? And come to find out, he was literally told to delete all of his posts because, I mean, I embarrassed him. And this was literally something they looked at him and told him in that meeting. And I was like, wow. And I wasn't going out to embarrass the guy. In fact, I told the guys, like, man, thanks for, you know, having this discussion with me. I was like, I'd love to have this discussion with you in person. Contact me anytime.
Yeah.
And then
6'8", 375 ass wants to have this in person. Wow. Praise the Lord. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Right.
See, so, that's crazy. I've never heard of something like that. Yeah. I haven't heard of something like that where they.
It's kind of touchy. You. I've heard it before.
Have you really?
Like these that's churches crazy. Like run themselves like businesses.
Oh, it is a business.
And it's like, 100%. You know, you gave them bad press, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'm pissed off about it.
Have you guys seen that? It's yeah. I don't know if it's on HBO or whatever. It's called the Gold. The Gemstones.
Yeah, yeah.
Have y'all
righteous
seen that?
Gemstone.
The Righteous Gemstones.
No. Hilarious.
So it is so funny that you know what I'm talking about, right? So it's basically it's on HBO, right? Yeah. And it's this I'm brain farting.
It's like a family.
Who are the
John
actors?
John Goodman.
John Goodman's the main pastor of this mega church. They're super filthy wealthy. And he has two sons and a daughter, and they're all pieces of shit.
Oh,
they are
my
like,
gosh.
There's a video that comes up of one of the pastors is like snorting cocaine with strippers and stuff like that.
God.
It is the funniest. If you guys are getting a chance to watch it, it's called The Gemstones. It's so funny, but it puts it in perspective of what probably is happening in some churches,
churches. I think that it's sad. I think that you should be able to have these conversations they should be open, but they're not. And that's
If I'm wrong, you know, tell me I'm wrong, but love me back into line. That's my point. Uh-huh. It's like, don't turn your back on people. You're the freaking church, quote unquote.
You know? But remember, you're also going with people who, I mean, goes back to it, where everyone is emotional. Some of the worst. The worst witnesses, the worst people are those who, like some of the Christians, some of the worst Christians.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. And this is, again, this I agree with you, guys. This isn't to get a whole religious show, but, you know, I mean, everyone experiences their own different hurt, their different experiences. Like, I couldn't imagine. I've had my own craziness, as we know. I've been shot. I've had stuff. But I couldn't imagine walking in your shoes. Your shoes were like, what, size 16, first off?
17.
But, 17. But I couldn't imagine like walking an inch in your shoes.
Right.
And so point is, you know, even those who are in leadership or authority, they have their own shit that they've gone through and their own stuff that they have never experienced.
Well, it's even when you're growing up, you hear about like pastors' daughters are always like the worst. Or I mean, not that that's general, but you hear that.
PKs, that's right. PKs, I mean, the initials.
Yeah, like that's the joke.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I wanted to hear from Clay just so we get a more today version of Clay. Mm-hmm. You are married and you have a little daughter. Tell us a little bit. Where did you meet your wife?
Match.com.
No way.
I didn't know that. Well,
what's crazy is the loony chick I met before her was on ChristianMingle.com, by the way.
No way. What? Tell us about that a little bit.
It's a funny story because I actually thought my wife was trying to catfish me. I was on Match.com and somebody read my profile. It was a girl. And she come up saying, oh God, my cousin is on Match.com also. And you've got to meet her. And I was like, okay, yes, you've got two profiles. And it wasn't. It ended up being.
How long had you been on Match at this point?
Probably not too long.
Not long.
Yeah, not too long. Mm-hmm. And So yeah, I met my wife and her cousin, my wife now and her cousin rather. And,
your wife's and your cousin, you said?
My wife and the cousin who I thought okay. was, the, I thought ah. the cousin was a fake profile. Mm-hmm. And it actually was her, ended up meeting her. And we clicked right off. I waited till I was 39. I always say I did this for a good reason, and I did, because there's some loonies out there. But anyway, waited till I was 39 before I even got engaged. But we were dating for maybe 6 months and we're engaged, and then married just a few months later.
So you just knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I found one that was down to earth and that could tolerate me. So yeah.
You're like, I better lock this down quick. Yeah,
absolutely.
So how long are you married?
Almost 6 years now. In January, it'll be 6 years. My daughter turns 5 on this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very wow. cool. Yeah.
She's so sweet. Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh. So I went yesterday she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I went to their house yesterday. I brought Jet with me, and mm-hmm. His wife cut my hair, and it was so funny. His daughter was so like excited. Like she was like shaking excited to have people there.
She cried.
She was just like, she's so sweet. Like super sweet. It was awesome.
And does your wife have a mobile hair cutting service?
While we were in another city, I helped her start that up. She works for another company here, cutting hair and that kind of stuff. But yeah, she's cut hair for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I like my haircut. It's good. Yeah.
Do you have anything else to tell us that you would like to share with everyone that we haven't gotten to?
You know, not right offhand, nothing I can think about. I think I want to take this platform, obviously, to encourage people and to let them know that you're not the only one that's going through the things you're going through, first of all. And if you're in a rough spot, it'll be okay. And I think this has become my new catchphrase is like, you've made it this far, you're going to make it farther. I don't know. I truly believe we all have a purpose. It's kind of funny, and I'll get off on a little bit of a bunny path, but not really. I made a post this morning, and I said, people think the things that they love the most are the things that they're passionate about. And I said, but get them talking about something that they hate, and they'll go on and on and on and on and on.
Interesting.
And so I think that's kind of where I'm gearing up my next phase is I want to be able to speak to people that have been through histories like mine. And because it is something that I hate, and it is something I can go on and on and on about. And it's something I feel I can coach people to come out of and guide them on finding something that they enjoy and they love mm-hmm. as compared to having to be, under the thumb of a boss if they don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And doing their own thing and becoming more entrepreneurial mm-hmm. and being able to make a positive impact. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
I love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Can you give us your social media mm-hmm. information so people can get a hold of you if they need to talk to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, what's crazy is I taught Krav Maga professionally for years, but I've actually just gotten to where I teach, law enforcement, military, if those options come up. But I don't even have a website. I personally make myself semi, not public. But if somebody wants to email me, my email address is the email address you asked for at gmail.com.
Oh, that's an email. So, that is awesome. That is funny.
Regardless, they're wanting to talk about things they're going through or, if they're interested in, learning how to defend themselves and their family, man, this stuff is going crazy. I don't know if you guys saw the post about the girl in Keller yesterday, the 24-year-old girl. Oh, yeah. There's apparently she walked in her house at 4:30 and her roommate was there. Her roommate left for 7 minutes, come back, and she's gone, just nowhere. Her keys are there. Her cell phone's there. Her purse is there. And she's just disappeared.
I was about to ask you, do you think that everybody should like learn how to defend themselves, because I just sent it to you and you haven't even seen it yet.
That story?
No. The what happened in LA in the neighborhood. Mm-mm. And you can literally hear this girl screaming help in the neighborhood. Gosh. And it is blood. I watched it probably 10 times and nobody is doing
anything.
I didn't
see it. What happened?
I swear it's a sex trafficking thing because they grab her and she's screaming and they caught it on a doorbell cam.
Oh, wow.
I sent it to you and I said, I am terrified.
What?
I'll show you when we're done. But I was going to ask you because I sent it to you thinking, I was like, I get in trouble for going to like stores late at night and I'm like, well, I live in Plano. So. Yeah. Nothing will happen to me.
I'll tell you a story actually that involves that. So I used to send my sales reps out and they would hand out VIP passes to our classes mm-hmm. There in the South Lake area. One mm-hmm. of the most, I mean, of course, there's like what, one murder in mm-hmm. the last 15, 16 mm-hmm. years in Southlake.
Right.
And so a lady looks at my rep, she goes, and he's handed her a VIP. She goes, I live in Southlake. Why am I going to need this? And the next week is when the guy, the guy walked out of that same Starbucks. Yeah. The attorney. Yeah.
Yeah. The attorney for the guy cartel.
Walked out of the Starbucks and got, they said they looked like they put a zipper up and down his chest with a freaking Uzi and it just blew him to pieces. And it was in close range. And what's crazy is, I mean, that's what Krav Maga is focused on is, you know, defenses against knives and grabs that you see commonly, guns, whatever that are in there were when in your grasp.
So why don't you have one now?
I've gotten away from it. Honestly, one of the big reasons I have no problem saying this, I went non-commercial, to where I'm just basically a private instructor now to people that I know are going to be dedicated.
And, I bet that's better.
Oh, it is. I mean, just for the simple fact that it takes me out of the melodrama that's involved
like
in the martial
dance.
Arts
it's
world.
Like a, yeah. I teach dance and I'd mm-hmm. rather do privates all day.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. Yeah. It's and not only that, I know that people that commit to me privately, they're people that are committed. They're not just in there, you know, to walk in for a good workout. They're in there for a reason, and they pay the amounts they do for a reason because they're serious about what they're learning. You know, they want to be able to make sure.
I just wouldn't know their kids, what to do mm-hmm. at all. To mm-hmm. be not honest, yeah. if anybody grabbed me, I would have no clue.
Yeah. I would be screaming,
That's all I know how to do, and like throwing my long arms yeah. around. I don't know what yeah. else to do.
I'm sorry, that's Masala really funny.
Everyone just know that she's abductible.
She's helpless, guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll get that out.
Clay, on social, on Facebook, how do they find you?
I think it's facebook.com/larry.clay1, the number one. So that's, and it, my profile name's Clay Lonis. So yeah, it's easy to find. And Clay it's got a little intro video of me from my profile picture, kind of hard to miss. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Very nice.
Let's go to question of the day.
I don't
like the two posh girls.
The question of the day will lighten up any show, for sure.
Question of the day. Your significant other wakes up every morning in a bad mood that lasts a couple of hours. They're rude and condescending. Red flag or deal breaker?
Ew, deal breaker.
Breaker. All the time, every day?
Every day.
I can't deal with negativity. Nope.
Yeah, I can. I mean, we're waking up, everybody wakes up grumpy here and there.
I wake up grumpy and then I try to shake out of it. I just need
all I said was everyone wakes up grumpy every blue moon, right?
Yeah.
But if it's like every blue moon, it wouldn't like it, but it wouldn't be a deal breaker or a red flag necessarily.
Every morning.
But if it was every morning, yeah, that's that'd be horrible.
I know, terrible spirit.
I need positive energy. Yeah. I can't do negative mm-hmm. ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I would snap.
Nobody's that good looking. Sorry.
Snap out of it.
Yeah,
get
for
with
sure.
It.
For
do
sure.
Do some jumping jacks or something.
That'll put you in a good mood.
I don't
if you're
like
pissed
when
off.
Anybody is in a bad mood.
I hate
it. Makes me so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I hate that.
Me too. So. How about you?
That's annoying. Yeah, I couldn't handle that. No, definitely annoying. Yeah, I can only poke somebody in the ribs and laugh so many times and try to get them in a good mood. And yeah, that's that would be hard.
They're probably pissed off because a poke from you is totally different from anybody else's big gorilla fingers or ears.
Even my pokes on Facebook are violent.
Spider, would you like that?
No, that's a deal breaker for me. But
there's
like something else going on there if you're waking up every freaking morning pissed off.
It means we got to get them a new career.
You can't find anything to be happy about.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
Like only 90% of my mornings are pissed off. You know what I mean?
Spider, this is very interesting for you because typically we ask you and you're like, nah, it's fine. That doesn't bother me.
I'm learning a lot about you today.
Yeah.
A lot about you today.
Just ask the right question.
Shocking. That's awesome. Well, Clay, we appreciate your time to come on. You taught us a lot. We learned a lot. Your life is... You made it, though, and you have a great attitude, and that's
and you're
really
so
amazing.
You smile, and that's mm-hmm. awesome.
I try.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you very much, and everyone for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you like our show, you can follow us on all social media handles. Two Posh Podcast is on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as Two Posh Boutique is on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And my personal Instagram is Gabby Talks, and my Facebook is Gabrielle Kendall Gilmore. So reach out to us, and here's Marcella's social media handles.
Also, our podcast is on all podcast networks that you can find. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat at Marcella Ranieri.
nothing really creative. My first and last name, MarceLlaRanei.
You can find me on Facebook at Bernie Diamond, or you can follow me on Instagram at _Bernie_Diamond. And there you go.
And Two Posh Podcast is also on YouTube. We have our own YouTube channel. Miss Polly?
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram at PR by Polly. My Twitter handle is Miss Polly Sex EDU.
Hey. Beautiful, everyone. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our channel. Subscribe to podcast YouTube. And YouTube.
You can see us all.
Yeah, and you, everyone have a wonderful day.